Hello and welcome to The Dish with Nancy Newcomer. Really happy you're here today. I'm broadcasting from my studio in Santa Barbara, California. I'm Nancy Newcomer and hope your day's going well. Really appreciate you tuning in and welcome to the news time slot, Fridays. Like it. Fridays, 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. I'm feeling the groove. I'm liking the Friday thing. It's really nice. Lots of you listen on demand, which is really a fabulous way to listen to the show. You can do that on Empower Radio, also iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn. And one of my favorite ways to listen to The Dish with Nancy Newcomer is to subscribe on iTunes. That way the shows will be sent directly to you and you will never have to worry about missing a show. So very convenient. And for those of you who are new to the program, I want to welcome you. Really appreciate you coming on board and checking us out. You know, this show started out more as a show about food and recipes, entertaining, wine, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it still is that. But we've kind of grown into a lot more than that. Often we talk about life and people's careers and how they got their start. And I find that very, very interesting. So more like a kitchen table chat, you know, the coffee talk chat. Kind of reminds me of my mom and her friend Gladys. Doris and Gladys would sit at the kitchen table, drink their Sanka. Gladys was a big smoker, kind of like Betty Draper on Mad Men. And she would chain smoke. And I remember all these cigarette butts with her lipstick on them. And oh, the kitchen stunk. So we're gonna have our kitchen table chat without the Sanka and without the cigarettes. It's going to be a lot of fun. So welcome to the show. Really happy you're here today.
I'm very excited today because we have a guest who she's a friend of the show. She's been here a few times and she always has great things to say and wonderful information. We learned so much from her. Carly Newbert is here today. She is a certified nutrition consultant. She works out of Nest Integrative Health Medical Spa in Santa Barbara. She also consults people as well one-on-one, and you can find her at her website, Healthy Habits Living. com, and she's here today. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Nancy.
I'm so happy to have you back.
So, are you hot today? Because I am sweating like I've never been sweating before.
Oh no, I'm in a very cool basement studio right now, so I'm okay. You were in a car or something?
Nice for you. I was out in the valley visiting friends and family, and it reminded me that, you know, you and I live in a beautiful area where it really doesn't get that hot, but most of the country during the summertime is sweltering, and they're begging for anything that will cool them down.
Well, yeah, and we get kind of steamy here, too. So, you know, it's funny, how out here on the West Coast, a lot of us don't have air conditioning, so when it does get hot, it gets really hot in our houses. So I love that you're here to talk about some fun things that we can indulge in this summer, keep us cool, but also keep us healthy and fit, because I know you have a few fun recipes and tricks up your sleeve, as you always do.
I always have tricks. So here's my number one trick for the summer. So I love ice cream. Okay, I'm a nutritionist, I know that, but I love ice cream. And there's a couple of ways to make ice cream a little better for you in the long run. So typically, ice cream is made out of either milk or cream and a whole lot of sugar. So
yes.
What we do at my house, yes, you know that.
I do.
What we do at my house is we make ice cream out of coconut milk. Have you ever had that?
I have. And I know you have to be, it's a little tricky sometimes because of texture. And I know sometimes people are a little bit afraid to do that, those who make regular ice cream. But I have found it to be pretty successful. And I'm really curious about what your take is on it.
So I use the Crux ice cream maker. So you kind of store the little base in the freezer all the time in case you want to make ice cream. And you put all your ingredients in that container and you turn on the machine and it's usually done within 10 to 15 minutes. So I have never had a texture problem with the regular cream ice cream or the coconut ice cream.
Well, you know what? My ice cream maker sounds exactly the same. Mine's a Cuisinart. So the Crux are the Cuisinart.
Okay.
It's the same process with that frozen base. It really does make it convenient.
Yes. And I love the texture. I've never had any problems with it. I've served this to people with very picky palates about texture, and I haven't had any complaints.
That's great.
Yeah. So here's why it's better to make ice cream out of coconut milk as opposed to regular milk. First of all, you're going to save a little bit of money. So if you want to have a high-quality ice cream, you're going to have to go to the store and you're going to have to buy, in my opinion, organic or raw cream. And that's really pricey, okay? And I love food, but I don't love spending a lot of money on food. So if you go with the coconut milk, you can get it organic and you can get it for a lot lower price. And coconut milk is naturally a little bit sweeter than cream and milk, so you have in some built-in sweetness already. The other thing I like about it is that it has antiviral properties, okay? So in other words, eating your coconut ice cream will help you fight off a virus during the summertime.
Really?
Yes. So take that one to the bank. Anytime any of our listeners here have the stomach flu, they can be happy to eat coconut ice cream because coconut has natural antiviral properties and it'll help them get rid of the stomach flu.
Wow, I never knew that.
So you're going to have a less expensive ice cream, and you're going to have this coconut milk, which is helps your immune system fight off viruses. The other thing that is wonderful about coconut is that it has a certain kind of fat in it called MCT. So it stands for medium chain triglycerides. So that doesn't sound exciting or wonderful in any way, but it actually is, because these medium chain triglycerides cannot be stored in your cells as fat. So in other words, when you eat coconut and it's all fatty, coconut milk or coconut the meat, it's all fatty, none of that fat will ever make you fat.
Okay, that's really important. I don't think people really know that. Wow. I like that.
Right, so back in the 70s, there was maybe some bad science that was around saying that saturated fat, which is what is in coconut oil and medium-chain triglycerides, those are somehow known to cause heart disease. So let's fast forward into the 21st century. We have new research that shows, no, that really wasn't very good science. And in fact, that science might have been swayed a little bit by industries that didn't want you to eat coconut. Okay?
Oh.
They wanted you to eat like soy oil and corn oil and canola oil. So the coconut fat, which is these medium chain triglycerides, is actually really, really good for you. And it cannot be stored in your body in fat cells. You cannot gain weight from it.
Oh.
You just can't.
Well, hello. We're all making it now. Okay. So.
Okay. We're all going to make it now. So something else that's special about these MCT oils that are in coconut products is that you can actually buy this isolated MCT oil, and you can put it in all sorts of things, which is kind of my segue to my second healthy recipe or tip for the summertime.
Okay, but before you go there, my dear, give a little rundown? I mean, we're going to post recipes, of course, so people don't have to worry about writing this down right now. They'll be posted at nancynewcomer.com with links to your stuff, too. But what is your sort of basic recipe? You don't have to give, you know, measurements, okay. But just what do you put in it besides the coconut milk?
Okay, so it's super easy. So I have that great ice cream maker that I told you about, and you can find a picture and put it up there on your site so everyone knows what we're talking about. So it's one can of coconut milk, easy peasy, two large eggs, and two tablespoons of a sweetener. Now, I use coconut sugar. I believe it's the healthiest sweetener that's available, but you could use regular white sugar or turbinado sugar or whatever kind of sugar you have, and a tablespoon of vanilla and a little pinch of sea salt. That's my base. And then I add in, you know, the love. So whatever happens to be in the fridge or on the counter. So maybe that's cookie crumbles, or maybe that's chocolate chips, or maybe it's some fruit. Whatever the love is, it goes in at the end. But the base recipe, one can coconut milk, two eggs.
Wow. And then the amount of sweetener, sugar, whatever, that's, what did you say?
Yeah.
That's hardly any.
I know, but it's because the coconut milk, you have to remember, is naturally sweet on its own.
Okay.
Already have a built-in sweetener.
And then if you're adding that fruit, or even if you're okay to add some little treats in there, you're not going to be really jumping the sugar level up too much.
Correct. It's a very low glycemic, and that's another reason why it's a much healthier choice than a regular ice cream.
Okay.
Has a much lower glycemic index.
Okay, I like that. And you know what? I know some people get all weird about, you know, oh, I don't eat any sugar, whatever. You know, if you're going to have ice cream, it usually does taste good with a little bit of sugar, but this is so much, you know, I mean, really, like, if you're going to have ice cream, just have it. But I like the fact, this idea about the fat, the healthy fat, not storing the fat, and then when the glycemic index or whatever the number is down, then you're not going to store as much fat through that conversion, you know, of the sugar.
Absolutely.
And,
you're right on.
Well, you're so smart.
I would love to be able to tell you that I'm a nutritionist that doesn't eat any sugar, or, you know, I haven't touched sugar in 3 months or 6 months or a year, but I'm just not that girl because I'm living in the real world with all the rest of you.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We appreciate that for sure. Okay, so now that I've interrupted you, you need to do your little transition to your next little thing about this oil stuff you're talking about.
Okay, so think through this with me. You have a coconut, right? And it has a brown husk. And when you take off the brown husk, you have the meat and the milk of the coconut. So if you take that meat and you grind it all up and you press it out, what you're going to end up is with coconut oil, okay? So let's say we're, like, in a chemistry lab and we separate out the coconut oil. So we take it and we put it in its molecular state. So we separate it into MCT oils, which I already talked about, medium chain triglycerides, and lauric acid. Those are the two main components. So the lauric acid is what helps you fight viruses and stimulates your immune system. The MCT oil is what helps you to not store fat. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to store fat.
No.
So, no. Nobody wants to really store fat. So if you go on my website or to a health food store, you can buy a bottle of MCT oil that's been made from coconut oil. Well, that oil is just like olive oil or flax oil or avocado oil or whatever. It has the same consistency, and you can use it as a base for your salad dressing.
Okay, so this is not the coconut oil that's in the jar that's hardened.
No.
Okay.
No. That would be kind of yucky to try to make a salad dressing out of.
Right.
This is a separated component of coconut oil called MCT oil, and it's something that I keep in my house along with all of my other healthy oils. And I don't know how you do your dressings, Nancy. Well, I actually do know how, because you told me that you love to make dressings with avocados.
Oh, I do. That Green Diva salad dressing, I swear that is one of the most popular recipes on my blog. And sometimes I put olive oil in it and sometimes I don't, because the avocado has the oil. But I am always interested to hear new takes on salad dressings, because first of all, they taste so much better. And second of all, you're not getting all the crap that you get in the bottled salad dressing. And it's cheaper, right? Cheaper to make your own.
Oh, it's way cheaper. So my rule of thumb at my house is a 2-to-1 ratio. So I get 2 parts oil, and I'll talk to you in a minute about the oils I like to use, and 1 part acid. So acid, of course, is going to be like a lemon juice or mustard along with lemon juice, or balsamic vinegar or sherry vinegar or Bragg's apple cider vinegar, whatever it is I'm kind of feeling good about. So 2 parts oil, 1 part acid. And then I add in all of the deliciousness. So I grow a lot of fresh herbs in my garden. And so I like to do basil mostly, but sometimes I do a little tarragon or oregano. And if I'm feeling a little sassy, I'll add in a little bit of honey to add a sweetness at the end.
Okay, that sounds good.
And so then with the oils that I like to use, like I was saying, I like to use the MCT oil because it's really helpful for turning on the metabolism and going into your fat burning mode as opposed to your fat storing mode.
I love that. And so, question about the flavor. Does that taste coconutty?
It doesn't. The because the part of coconut that tastes coconutty is in the lauric acid. And so that's been taken away. And so all you're left is with that MCT oil that has pretty much no flavor. Like when you eat olive oil, you get a nice, rounded, robust flavor. When you have the MCT oil, it's pretty plain. It's pretty tasteless.
Well, that has a plus because then it'll take on the quality of whatever you put in it. Like you're talking about your fresh herbs. You know, I like this idea because there's a lot of ways you could go with this. And if people did want to put that in the blender, you know, one of the greatest recipes. Oh, we're creating one right here on the spot, Carly, because you're inspiring me. But don't you love those raspberry vinaigrettes? We could put fresh raspberries and maybe that sherry vinegar. That sounds good, huh?
That sounds delicious. I'm going to tell you a secret, and only my husband knows this. And this might be too racy for your show, so if you have to edit it out, I'll understand. Okay, I am a raspberry whore. I love raspberries so much. I have my whole side yard, you know, the full length of my house has raspberries on it. And I don't have a vine or a trellis or anything helping it up. And I go out there and I dig around like a little kid, and I don't care if I get stickers. I find as many raspberries as I can. The raspberry bushes are always empty because I keep them plucked off.
Okay. So, now, what's the X-rated part? Where are you out there naked or something?
Wow, no, but I mean, I'm a whore for it. I'll do anything to get those raspberries.
Are you going to put that on your Twitter feed?
I might. Now that you suggested that, I might.
Hey, if we have to be a whore for something, raspberries, that's a good start.
It's true. It could be a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
So I love that idea of putting in, I'm imagining like some fresh basil along with whatever fat I'm using, MCT oil or olive oil or flax oil, which I wanted to talk to you about, and then loading it up with some raspberries and a little bit of acid, maybe a little bit of apple cider, maybe a little bit of mustard. That speaks to me.
Have you ever tried like a lemon poppy seed dressing?
You know, I don't think I've ever made one. I certainly have had one, but again, you never know what's in those processed salad dressings.
I know. I'm thinking that a lemon poppy seed, or even you could do chia seeds because they give that little gel. Do you ever use those? That would be kind of fun, too.
Love it.
Yeah, and then maybe that might be a good one to put something sweet in, too. Maybe like a little honey. Or I'm just trying to, you know, I also think you could squeeze some fresh orange juice in there too, just to sweeten it up.
Ooh, that would be perfect.
Okay.
Because you have the lemon and the orange playing against each other.
Yeah, I really think that this could be a whole other show just about these dressings.
Oh, that's true. It really could.
I know.
So, you know what's great is when you have dressings that excite you, you're absolutely more prone to eating salad. I mean, it's just going to happen that way. You have no choice.
Well,
you want to eat the dressing, you have to eat a salad with it.
Yeah, and it makes it more interesting and tasty. And, you know, people get in ruts with salads. You know, they do, oh, I want to eat healthy. They eat just the greens, and they put a chicken breast on it. But you can really just change things up by doing these different things with the dressing. Now, okay, what about, you mentioned flaxseed oil?
Yes, so flaxseed is another oil that some people like to use for salad dressing. And really, flaxseed oil should only be used cold, so it can't stand up to any heat. So you can either put it in your smoothie or put it in a salad dressing. So what's exciting about flaxseed oil is it has a little bit of a nutty or an earthy flavor, and that can really work really well with some salads. What's not exciting about flaxseed oil is that it can be estrogenic, which means that it will increase the estrogen in your body. So sometimes we want to do that, sometimes we don't. So in general, I recommend that people don't consume flax oil except for once a week or so.
Okay.
So if you have flax oil and you want it a nice, nutty, rich, rounded flavor for a salad, use some flax oil and mix it, you know, with your vinegar or your lemon or your mustard or your honey, whatever you're going to do. But it probably shouldn't be your base salad dressing for the whole entire salad.
Or are you going to just go all hormonal on everybody?
Yes. And you know, where the clinic I work in, that's what we're seeing is a lot of women and men and younger women, especially, who have hormone issues. So we're really sensitive about how food can affect your hormones.
Oh, for sure.
So I say, you know, flax oil and a salad dressing once a week or so.
Got it. Okay, now, new recipe, new subject as far as the summer things. I am so intrigued. We see it all the time in all the stores. Kombucha.
Kombucha. So the street name for kombucha is the booch. Okay?
Oh.
Somebody walking by or you're at a restaurant and you hear them say, do you have any booch? That's what they're talking about. It's kombucha.
Okay, not the hooch.
Okay.
The kombucha. The
no,
booch.
Not the hooch, but the booch.
Okay.
Booch is big now. In fact, in some of the bigger cities, we see bars and fine dining brewing their own kombucha and having it on tap, which is awesome, in my opinion, because kombucha has some health benefits and some redeeming qualities to it. So if you don't know what it is, I know you probably do, Nancy, but if your listeners don't know what it is, it is a fermented black tea. Kombucha is a fermented product. So you start with your SCOBY, is what it's called, and it looks kind of like a big flat mushroom, like a portobello mushroom. And you take your sugar, because that's how you feed the fermentation product, and then you take black tea. And you basically let it sit in a dark room for about a week. And what happens is the sugar feeds off this beneficial bacteria and makes this naturally bubbly probiotic for you to drink.
That is so cool. I didn't know.
Have you tasted the booch?
I have had the booch. My daughter's hooked on the booch, and it's so funny you're talking about it on tap. Now, we sound like a cliche, but in Portland and also Eugene, Oregon, there's a gas station that has it on tap. Yeah, they don't have any. They have espressos and lattes and kombucha. The booch. Kombucha.
They got the booch.
Yeah.
What really excites me about kombucha is that, you know, of course the market and the stores and the restaurants, they really got excited about it like it's some brand new thing. It's not a brand new thing, okay? Fermenting food has been around for centuries, and it is used in traditional cultures so that people can stay healthy. So I think it's great that we're introducing this into our culture to stay healthy. So when you ferment something like the booch or kefir water, which I'll talk about in a minute, you're introducing all of these positive or good bacteria into your gut. So we have about 3 trillion cells in our gut, and they need to either have happy bacteria to help them, or they're going to have sad bacteria that don't help them. So the best way to get that good bacteria, some people think, is to take a probiotic capsule. But what I think, really, is to have fermented food in your diet all the time. So in summertime, I see, unfortunately, lots of children and adults drinking tar-colored black sodas, you know, like Coke or Pepsi or Dr. Pepper. And those have no redeeming health qualities. In fact, they're, you know, anti-nutrients. They're anti-food.
Sure.
So that's why I get so excited about kombucha and kefir during the summer. Because I'm like, oh, drink this. It's carbonated. It's bubbly. Usually kombucha or kefir water are flavored with a little bit of fruit or something like that. And, you know, I said, this is such a healthy substitute. And it's so delicious. And you can get hooked on it. It's a good addiction.
Oh, that's great. You know, Carly, you're not going to believe it, but we're toward the end here. We just got a minute left.
Okay.
Do you have a few quick words about kefir water?
Okay, so here's what you need to know about kefir water. There's only a couple companies that make it. The difference between kefir water and kombucha is that kombucha is tea. Kefir water is just water with probiotics in it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so one has tea and a little bit of caffeine, and one is just water. So if you're sensitive to caffeine, go with kefir water. And if you don't like kefir at all. There's actually a capsule form of kefir that you can buy called Kefirin.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you know, God, this is so much great information. I am so excited to learn how to make kombucha, and I know you'll have a great recipe for us to paste up on the on the website. I'm so sorry, we're running out of time. Oh my God, it always happens, Carly, doesn't it?
I'm just a talker,
Nancy. I know. You've got the greatest information. So if anybody wants to find you, they can go to your website, healthyhabitsliving.com. If they want to work with you one-on-one, they can do that as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I offer 15-minute free consultations for anybody that wants to hear about how I can help them, or if they have any questions about the supplements they're taking.
That's excellent. And Carly, we'll have all your information posted up there. Thanks to Carly Newbert for joining us this week. So many great ideas and recipes. The conversation never ends on The Dish with Nancy Newcomer. Thanks for tuning in and share the show with your friends. We'll see you next week.